This is OTB AM.
That's a load of nonsense. Because he's English, he's led Liverpool to a Champions League and he's led him to a Premiership title for the first time in 30 years. It's because he's English. That is outrageous to say that. Well, if you're looking for an headline, then there you go. That's it. That's all that. That's
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Weekdays from 7:30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Phil, you're here for a very good reason. You were with us last week and we said the success of the item was going to live and die on how good or bad it was. And it's our list of things that you must watch for the weekend. Last week, it just morphed from the list that was like equally segmented into must watch, nah, if you have a bit of time, watch, and don't bother watching, just became watch the entire thing.
Yeah.
What's the story
it's
this weekend?
It's very hard. Like, because remember I had said that the Chelsea game wasn't a must watch, but it's one that I might watch. And the first half an hour was unbelievable. So it turned into a must watch.
Yeah.
Callum Robinson scored a couple of goals. Thiago Silva gifts West Brom a goal. And you're thinking, you spent a lot of money, Frank, and you're 3-0 down to West Brom. This, I can't remember this happening to a manager before. Although I do remember a Brendan Rodgers Liverpool team lose 3-0 away to West Brom on the first day of the season when Zoltan Gera, in Brendan Rodgers' words, scored an absolute worldie. That was that was on being Liverpool.
You're saying that must-watches are made, not born, basically.
Sometimes.
You make a decision after a certain amount of time.
Like, when you ask me to do this, I look at the list and I say, yeah. I basically tick these off. I go, I'll watch that. Might watch that. Like, if something better comes up, you know, I'm not going to be kicking and screaming saying, no, I'm not going to the shop to get the food shop in. I'm watching this game. Whereas certain games where I think, no, you know, I could do without the first half of this one, but I'll come back for the second half. That's kind of how I felt about Chelsea last week, knowing I'd see the first half. And once I saw the first half, I was hooked. I couldn't turn off the second half.
Right. Well, I think we can all agree on the must watch. List to begin things, difficult to say, to begin things. Leeds against Manchester United.
Yeah, Manchester City.
Banker. Manchester City. Banker.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, we said it last week, Leeds are must watch. Even the Sheffield United game last weekend, I watched that and it was 1-0, but even when it was nil all, it was entertaining. Leeds are just brilliant to watch. Obviously, City are coming off the back of the 5-2 defeat. Then the narrative of the master against the pupil and Bielsa and Guardiola. I wonder if City win or after the game, famously before Bielsa basically gave his cheat sheets to Guardiola after Bilbao played Barca and said, basically, there's the dossier on your team. And Guardiola revealed that Bielsa knew a lot more about his Barca team than Guardiola did himself. So maybe after Leeds and Man City, they share a drink and Bielsa said, right, this is why you're getting smashed by counter-attacking teams. And this is going to be a really tricky game for Man City because we know Leeds are going to create chances and Leeds will give up chances as well. So this could be an absolute cracker. 5:30 tomorrow.
I think the general expectation here is because we're so close to that opening day cracker between Leeds and Manchester City or Leeds and Liverpool,
yeah,
and that Liverpool and Manchester City aren't a million miles apart stylistically, that it just inevitably is going to be that way. Can you make any case for it not going in a similar manner?
There is absolutely no way this game can finish nil all.
Not even on Leeds' performance last week, 1-0?
No, absolutely not. Because also the fact that Leeds are playing Manchester City and not Sheffield United. Sheffield United are not prolific. We know City will create chances and with their attack and the way they approach games, they'll also leave gaps at the back and Leeds will get a few chances as well. Players like Helder Koster, obviously Patrick Bamford has his eye on the golden boot as well.
Everybody's going to be, there's no case to be made for, everybody's watching it.
Yeah.
Everybody's listening to Manchester United against Tottenham on Sunday at 4:30 as well. Stephen Doyle and Brian Kerr are going to bring you full commentary of that one. It's also on the TV, I'm assuming, but don't worry too much about that. And it's also a must watch.
Absolutely.
No great debate to be had?
No, because Manchester United, as we've seen, obviously last week, the game against Brighton, but given the fact that the transfer window closes on Monday and there's been such little activity with Manchester United, any defeat or poor result results in absolute meltdown in terms of Manchester United. And the fact that Jose Mourinho's there as well just adds to it all, that if he was to get a result at Old Trafford, if he actually got a win, you know, the panic buys that might be happening on a Monday at Manchester United, it looks like they're going to be doing that anyway. Now, saying that, United actually have a very good record against Spurs, and I don't think they'll be that worried about playing Spurs. We know Spurs obviously have had a busy run of games, but Harry Kane scored a hat-trick last night. Yeah, I think, as I said, United, just the way things are going, they're always worth a watch because the narrative changes from game to game.
Everybody will be tuned in as well on Sunday for the Sunday evening game for Liverpool thumping Aston Villa.
Not necessarily thumping them, but Villa, the way it worked out, obviously they didn't play Manchester City in the opening weekend because City were in European action in August. So that actually helped Villa. They obviously got the win against Sheffield United, and they got a win against Fulham. So now you're stepping up, and obviously they've signed Ross Barkley. They've recruited well. I think Emi Martinez could be a massive signing for them. And up until last night, I had said to a few Arsenal fans, I think Arsenal got rid of the wrong goalkeeper. Now, obviously, Bert Leno had a brilliant game at Anfield last night, but I actually do think Martinez showed when he came in for Leno last season that he looked so much better. And just in terms of what Arteta is trying to do and play out from the back, Martinez looks far more assured of the ball at his feet. He actually made a mistake last Monday against Fulham. Now, VAR ruled the goal out for a foul by Mitrovic, but I was so shocked by it. That kind of says where he is in terms of the standards that he set. But Villa will actually relish this now, the fact that they'll know exactly where they are in terms of, you know, has the recruitment been good when they're playing?
They'll know where they are after about 20 minutes, and they'll relish it up to about 20 minutes when they're 4-0 down, and then they're like, right, how much can we get for Jack Grealish again to try and get some other players in to...
Well, they've kept two clean sheets, but obviously Sadio Mane loves playing against Villa. Absolutely loves it, and to be honest, loves playing against anyone these days because he's just an unbelievable player. But yeah, this was a really tricky game for Liverpool last season, where they scored twice in the last few minutes to come from behind. But yeah, you'd expect Liverpool to win, and you just want to see what Villa are like. Obviously, will Ross Barkley get a run? Don't know if he'll start. What does that do to the balance of the midfield when he's stuck with the same midfield? He's got Howarthen, and obviously Douglas Luiz and John McGinn are the midfield three at the moment. So if he was to bring in Ross Barkley, you would imagine that would probably be bad news for Conor Howarthen, because Luiz is probably the most defensive minded of those players.
Yeah. Chelsea Palace on Saturday at lunchtime. I'm watching this for Palace now more than I'm watching for Chelsea.
Yeah.
Oddly.
I'm thinking there's no way Frank Lampard can start a touchline spat with Roy Hodgson. You know, the oldest manager in the Premier League, Roy Hodgson doesn't get involved in touchline spats. Do you remember that game where there was a break and play? Palace played Manchester City. Kevin De Bruyne was down getting treatment, and Guardiola and Roy Hodgson sat side by side on the bench, just chatting away to each other. Real respect for two different generations in the game, certainly different footballing philosophies. But Frank Lampard seems to love the touchline friction. You know, he turned up with his Snickers on there during the week as if he was just off the site, you know, midweek game, didn't have time to go home and change, and starts giving it the big one to Jose Mourinho. Obviously, we know what happened with Liverpool and Chelsea last season, but surely he can't start picking on Roy Hodgson. But it's a tricky game for Chelsea in the sense that if Palace sit in the way they do with their defensive shape, they've got players to hurt Chelsea in the break, and that's what West Brom did. And you could argue West Brom are not as good as Crystal Palace. So the pressure is on Frank Lampard. Mm. We knew it was going to be on him regardless of how they started, but they haven't won since the opening weekend.
Like, it's a whole new layer for Frank Lampard. Like, if you don't follow games that Manchester United play, actually at the minute if you do, maybe this rings true as well, but if you just watch Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in post-match interviews, you think, Jesus, this guy is out of his depth, he hasn't a clue. And, like, you know, careers are not won and lost in post-match interviews, but Frank Lampard also looks like a man who's significantly creaking under the pressure, also on the sideline.
Yeah, there was that thing that people pointed out about him last season when his post-match interviews start with a bit of a serious point, turn into a bit of a joke, and then he corrects himself with a more serious point.
Yeah.
But Frank is looking very serious now because he knows he has to deliver. And people say it takes time, and they will point at the fact that Jurgen Klopp, to get to where he is now, needed time. But the difference is Jurgen Klopp was given the time because he had the CV to back it up. He was a multiple league winner with Borussia Dortmund, obviously got them through a Champions League final. And you could see bit by bit that he was going to improve Liverpool. Lampard doesn't have that CV. He had the season with Derby where they got to the playoffs. He had last season with Chelsea where they finished fourth, but they were terrible away from home and they conceded too many goals. So that's why he's not going to get that amount of time, and obviously the fact that they spent more than 200 million as well.
I disagree on the whole press conference thing, I must say. I don't think he got, like, he's obviously got the whole haha no but seriously thing going on, which is obviously very, very funny. But outside of that, I don't think he comes across like lacking. I think he does look assured most of the time. I thought it was quite telling last week when the person he kind of picks out is Marcus Alonso, and he picks his words very carefully. He's the one person that you know that he's going to drop. And
yeah,
like, there was obviously a report during the week that Marcus Alonso went out and wanted to watch the rest of the game on the telly in the bus rather than actually staying in the stadium, and Lampard was furious with that. And subsequently, he is the player that gets thrown under the bus in the press conference afterwards. So I think he's quite tactful, actually, in his media dealings. I definitely think I think he's a better manager than Solskjaer, put it that way.
I think you're probably right, but I'm also of the opinion that I might be a better manager than Solskjaer, and only time is going to tell on that one. I just think he's creaking a bit under the pressure, right? Like, he feels as if he's not fully in control of everything at all times. You know, like, the best post-match, I realise we're in the sort of realms of craziness here, but the best post, and as I said, careers don't live or die by it, but the best interview givers are the ones who look like they couldn't give a toss about it, right? Like, they're the ones who come out and are like, they've just been beaten 3-0, and that sort of Sam Allardyce approach to, I mean, it's also true in his case of somebody who...
What about Klopp? Klopp, like, I mean, clearly does give a toss quite deeply.
The Klopp interviews from years ago when they're losing 3-0 at Watford, where Adam Bogdan's in goal conceding 3 goals at Watford now. I know they conceded 3 goals at Watford last season, but Klopp would laugh off these things because he knew that this was going to take time, this was a project. But as I said, he was given the time because people knew how good he was, and I mean, that's, look how that's turned out. I don't know. I mean, if you gave Frank Lampard 5 more years with Chelsea, what would they do? If they spent 200 million every summer, I'm sure they could probably get close to winning a league title. But, you know, they don't look very well coached at the back. And obviously they've brought in Mendy in goal. One thing he did the other night, he came out for a high ball and he caught it. And I thought, oh no. Like, it's a big step up for him in terms of just the pressure he's going to be under. He has to be the saviour for Chelsea because they had the world's most expensive goalkeeper. They have the world's most expensive goalkeeper. And now Mendy's been brought in basically to rescue this.
Yeah. Phil, you're testing my patience now with this list because it's still in the... By the way, we're still in the must watch list. And I don't know how this one has squeaked in. Like, it's a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff, which should have been the first clue that you needn't bother. Everton against Brighton.
Game of the weekend.
Everton against Brighton's not a must watch. Everton going to win, trying to win their first 4 league games of the season. Do you know the last time they did that, Adrian? 1969. What happened that season? Everton won the league.
Not having it, Phil. It's not so, that's not, that isn't
James Rodriguez. Obviously, Brighton as well are a different kettle of fish now as well. They're very good away from home, so this actually could be a really good game. And yeah, I want to see Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who now has, he's obviously got, he thinks he's Dixie Dean the way he's banging in the goals now. So I think Everton are must watch. And obviously, if they can finish this little spell off with a win, then the international break, the first game back, it's the Merseyside derby. So
I know these other games you've in the might watch category, you're definitely watching Leicester West Ham on Sunday at 12 o'clock, Arsenal Sheffield United, must listen, we must mention on that one as well. Nathan and Kenny will be on duty for that one and Off the Ball on Sunday at 2 o'clock. But you're in the not watching category, Newcastle against Burnley on Saturday evening, that's because you've just got a life, Southampton against West Brom on Sunday, and Wolves against Fulham on Sunday.
Fulham could surprise you, Phil.
Fulham?
Wolves versus Fulham could surprise you.
It could do, but see, it's on the same time as Arsenal Sheffield United. So that's it's a won't watch. And that's why I won't watch Southampton West Brom, because Leicester and West Ham are on at the same time. And then I just won't watch Newcastle Burnley because it could actually 8 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday. I mightn't even make it beyond 9 o'clock. I could be asleep.
We know that anything that wanders into the Might Watch or Won't Watch listen is a work of fiction, and we look forward to your updates on Twitter over the weekend. When it's Saturday night at 8 o'clock, instead of watching whatever box office movie is on RTE, you're going to be tuned in to Newcastle.
It's usually a fairly kind of a universal film. Like an animation one in RTE usually show on this, and I hate the way they interrupt them for the lotto.
Oh, yeah. 20 minutes of the lotto. It's like a Champions League draw.
Well, I can't understand. If you have kids, you're thinking, it's probably time to start getting them ready for bed, and then they drag it out with the lotto draw. That's not really great, is it? I know we're kind of venturing into dadcast here now, so.
I'm all for that. You want to be getting them to bed before 8 o'clock as well. Owen's about to tickle the ivories to take us out, Phil, but thanks a million for that for this morning. Good man. Enjoy the football over the weekend.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.